$1,000. Now, text the nationwide keyword LUCK to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest. That's LUCK to 200-200.
710 WOR. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Just another day in paradise.
Paradise? What are you talking about?
By the way, Joe was giving the big events that happened on this date in history, October the 12th. Mm-hmm. Did you think it was worth mentioning that that was the date that Columbus landed in the New World? No?
That
was a fairly important date in the history of mankind.
No. I mean, it was awful for the indigenous people. So I'm not going to, we're not going to relive it.
Well,
a terrible day.
If Columbus hadn't landed on this date in history,
there'd be no Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
And there'd be no Kanye in the Oval Office.
Well, Amerigo Vespucci got here.
Americus.
I don't think he did get here. I think he mapped it out, but I don't think he got here.
All right. Let's not fight over this.
geography lesson, folks, this morning. Riveting radio.
Let's get Peter Stuyvesant on the phone. Hey, I love the two headlines have the exact same picture in the two major New York tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
They have Kanye and Donald Trump hugging in the Oval Office. The Daily News headline is, actually, the Post headline is Wild, Wild West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Daily News headline is The West Wing Nut.
Which one is better, Len?
I don't know. Well, which one are they referring to?
Oh, come on. That is a cheap left-wing shot.
Just a little joke. You guys on the right have no sense of humor.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Oh, please. Are you kidding me?
All the comedians are on the left. You guys are not funny. Hey, our big three stories this morning. Kanye West does the Oval Office. Michael Riedel's going to offer a translation for us.
Working on it.
He said he'll get it back to me by Saturday. Also in the big three, the death toll, according to ABC News, is up to 8 for Hurricane Michael. Mm. The pictures of the devastation.
Unbelievable.
Just heartbreaking. The next segment, we're going to go to Pete Combs, terrific reporter for ABC News. He drove around. If you've seen these pictures, just heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking. Anyway, we'll have a live report coming up. And rounding out the big three, the Saudi mystery. He had the death in the embassy. What should the president do? Is he conflicted? A lot of people are now pulling out of a major conference that goes on in Saudi Arabia. All these journalists are saying, not going.
There's a big media conference in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, and a number of journalists and media organizations have pulled out, including CNN and the New York Times.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the Washington Post reports that the Turks and this alleged killing took place at the Saudi Arabian embassy in Istanbul. They have the evidence.
They say they have audio.
They got audio of them interrogating the guy, beating him up, torturing him, and then apparently dismembering him with a hacksaw.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And of course, that's a big ally of ours, and we sell them a lot of money. And We sell them a lot of money.
$100 billion in weapons. We need them as our ally in the Middle East. They're allied with us against Iraq, which is our enemy. So, frankly, I don't think there's much the president can do here. You can denounce it, but you're not going to tear up our relationship with Saudi Arabia over a journalist.
How many people did Kim Jong-un kill?
Yeah, exactly.
Should we not talk to him? Look, Putin's killed plenty of people.
How many people are in Iraqi prisons? And Obama had a treaty with Iraq. Iran.
We have sanctions against North Korea. We have sanctions against Russia. Should there be some sanctions? That's a difference. No, I'm not saying we shouldn't talk, Joe, but should there be sanctions against Saudi Arabia?
Over one guy?
Yeah, what are you going to do? I mean,
one guy.
Look,
you're really diminishing this. You're a journalist. You're not outraged by this?
No.
Wow.
Wow. Well, I mean, he shouldn't have gone there first place.
He had no business being in that embassy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'm shocked that you took that attitude. I really am.
What do you want to do? You can't destroy a long-term relationship with Saudi Arabia just because they don't behave like good, enlightened liberal Democrats. It's just not the way the world works.
Too. You're going to hurt American business.
Exactly.
So this is a political angle. So you're talking
politics. It's all political stuff. This is how the world works, Len.
Wow. So if this was a Democratic president, you'd feel differently?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Very good. Okay, so let's...
The outrage, the freedom of the press is being compromised. It'd be terrible.
You are so shallow. It's beyond belief. So Kanye in the Oval Office. Our buddy John Carl is the White House correspondent for ABC News. He's just tremendous. What happened yesterday, well, first of all, Kanye got up and gave this very famous hug, which is on the front page of the tabloids, the same picture. Kanye gave this hug to the president.
I love this guy right here.
That's really nice. And that's from the heart. I didn't want to put you in that position, you know, but that's from the heart. Special guy.
All right. Well, on the way out of the Oval Office, he hugged Jonathan Carl, the ABC News, the ABC News correspondent from the White House. So John is joining us. Very excited by this. In about half an hour at 7:40, we will get a firsthand report on somebody who got hugged by Kanye West.
That's great.
Must have been a great career thrill for Jonathan Carl.
Yeah, high point. Absolute high point.
Wasn't going to wash those clothes ever.
It's like getting hugged by Kim Kardashian, really.
Well, that's not the same thing. But
no, he's hugged Kim Kardashian. So you.
Exactly. This is a once removed hug.
Yeah.
This is Kim Kardashian once removed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, then Jonathan Carl, while they're all gathered around, I guess John called out a question to Kanye, and this was Kanye's response, if you can make it out.
Oh, your question. You have one question, we're going to go to another question. Okay. I answered your question. I don't answer questions in simple sound bites. You are tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes to it. You better play 4D chess with me like it's Minority Report, because it ain't that simple. It's complex.
So he said, he basically said this, I don't answer questions in simple sound bites. You are tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes to it. He says, like playing 4D chess, four-dimensional chess.
You think Carl's up to play 4D chess with Kanye West?
We're going to ask him.
We're going to find out.
I wonder how you play 4D chess. I've heard of three-dimensional objects.
I've
yet to hear of four-dimensional objects.
And I wonder if John's a wine connoisseur.
That's true. Well, okay. We're going to find out a lot from John Carl coming up. So let's see. Let's start at the top. Here's Kanye West in the Oval Office.
What I need Saturday Night Live to improve on, or what I need the liberals to improve on, is if he don't look good, we don't look good. This is our president.
What was this, like a 10-minute monologue,
yes, it was
right?
A 10-minute monologue.
I found interesting that Jim Brown, the all-time great NFL Hall of Fame running back, was sitting next to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying nothing.
Do we know? Did he say anything at the meeting?
I think he did. Yeah, I think he did talk at some point. But wouldn't you love to know what Jim Brown was thinking while this is all going on?
He's thinking, okay, here we are in the loony bin.
Well, but that's not what you said.
Well, Kanye's a little odd, but I understand his point.
You do?
He
tell me.
Okay, it in
explain
unique.
It to me.
He is saying, Len, that under this president, we have a robust, a strong economy, and that's the best thing you can do for people of all races is to give them jobs. And that's what the president is doing. That's what's behind Kanye's uniquely expressed monologue.
Here's the other thing, too. And I think he's...
Oh, you're going to defend him, too, Bartlett?
No. Trump, he kind of gets you going crazy. A lot of people don't like his behavior, but they still support his policies. The country is in good shape as the president of the United States, and he should get credit for that.
He should get credit.
The country is doing well,
this has nothing to do with this wacky bipolar individual in the Oval Office.
But I think that's what he's saying.
This is what he said.
Trump is on his hero's journey right now, and he might not have expected to have a crazy motherfucker like Kanye West run up and support.
I'm going to go out of a limb.
Why do you have trouble understanding it? Kanye is saying Trump is doing a superhuman job with this country, and he did not expect to have somebody like me, a black man, come out to support him. That's all he's saying. And you can't understand that?
I'm gonna say he's the first ever on camera utter that phrase, mother effer, in the Oval Office. That's all.
Are you outraged that that was said?
Well, listen to the LBJ tapes. Listen to the Nixon tapes. They swore six ways to Sunday in the office.
And you guys are just fine with this. This is just the absolute image you want to portray to the world. That's great.
So you're essentially saying that, it's really a terrible thing for an African-American to use a swear word. He's a rapper. They sing in swear words.
Now you injected African-American. I think it would be inappropriate for anyone to say that. I didn't say African-American. You're the one who made that aspersion.
When we make everything in China and not in America, then we're cheating on our country. And we're putting people in positions to have to do illegal things to end up in the cheapest factory ever, the prison system.
You see, that you don't understand that point. Let me explain that for you.
Yeah, please.
So he is saying that with all those jobs that go to China, it means that people can't get work and they turn to crime, and that's how they wind up in prison. It is not that complicated, Len. If we bring those jobs back, people have opportunities. They won't commit crimes. Therefore, they won't go into prison.
You're drawing a direct line.
This is as clear as a bell.
You're drawing a direct line with jobs going to China and people winding up in prison.
Okay. I'm saying if you don't have opportunities, if you don't have jobs, you sometimes turn to crime to survive, and that's when you get caught up in the prison system.
Okay.
There's a lot of things affecting our mental health that makes us do crazy things that puts us back into that trap door called the 13th Amendment.
Yeah, that's the 13th Amendment deal. You explain this one.
You got to remove all that trap door out of the relationship. The four gentlemen that wrote the 13th Amendment, and I think the way the universe works, it's perfect. We don't have 13 floors, do we?
That explains it. We've got 13 floors.
I'm still working on this part of the oration, okay? give me some time here, Lynn.
How about Regina in Hawthorne, New Jersey wants to weigh in. Good morning, Regina.
Hi, Lynn. This wasn't really the first time that the F-bomb was really used in the White House. Remember when Obamacare got passed and Biden told Obama, I think it was right outside the Oval Office, this was a big effing deal?
Yeah. I remember that. I do. But it was I understand that. But it wasn't mother effing or whatever. All right. Thanks, Regina. Appreciate it. We come back. We're going live to Florida. ABC's Pete Combs. The hurricane damage is absolutely devastating, and Pete has seen it firsthand. Plus, don't miss your next chance at $1,000 at 8:05. Bernie Viter with Traffic Now.
Hey, good morning, everybody. We're going to jump down to Florida to check in with Pete Combs. The hurricane devastation yesterday is unbelievable. I saw some drone footage.
Unbelievable.
I mean, there are just tracks of houses wiped out. It looks like a bomb went off.
Before we get to him, just a quick note, because the last caller and someone thought I was rushing her off the air. I wasn't. It was time for commercial. And also, I got a tweet saying the same thing, that Joe Biden dropped an F-bomb. But he was doing it off mic, just to be fair, and he was doing it in the East Room, and it was kind of saying that the Affordable Care Act was a big effing deal. You can hardly hear it.
I heard it. It was right there.
Right there. So some people are making it out to, well, Joe Biden said it there. He said it clear as day, which he didn't. And here's Kanye saying big MFing deal in the Oval Office. So there it's the same thing. So if you want to equate the two, be my guest.
Are you going to retract your attacks on Kanye now?
I don't have any attacks on Kanye. I thought the whole thing was Looney Tunes.
All right, let's check in with Pete Combs, ABC News correspondent down in Destin, Florida. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning. I'm out of the no phone zone. Still, you can't, if you're a Verizon customer, you can't communicate in the area around Panama City Beach and Panama City. Wow. So I came out, got a hot shower, a hot meal, and I'll be going back in later.
Pete, just describe to us what you've seen.
Oh, my God. And it's very hard not to get emotional when you talk about what is going on in there. Every single house I saw has been in some way damaged by this storm. Every residential street is completely covered with downed trees and storm debris. And what the problem that causes is for search and rescue teams, they have to, first of all, cut their way into a neighborhood, you know, cut the trees out of the street, get rid of that debris. And then the trees that have fallen in yards and on houses, they have to cut through all of that just to see if there's anybody in the house. They can't tell because, in some cases, as I said, nobody has a phone. They can't call for help. And this is what's going to have to happen house by house, street by street, throughout the city of Panama City and Panama City Beach.
Now, I saw the footage from Mexico City, Florida, which is just, it's mind-blowing. It's like entire streets were totally wiped out. I mean, how could there not? I mean, I'm assuming they're talking about a death toll. ABC is mentioning 8. I can't imagine it's not going to go higher.
I think, I'm sad to say that. I think you're absolutely right. As more and more people can come in here and help with the search and rescue effort, they're going to find more and more situations where people may have been hurt or may have been killed. And these are the people who refused to evacuate when they were told to get out while you still can.
Pete, what are the dangers facing people now?
A lot of them. Of course, the debris that's fallen is by no means stable. So if you walk into a place where you've got debris overhead, there's a pretty good chance that debris at some point is going to come down. And then there's the situation with gas lines and power lines. Gas lines could be ruptured. That could be gas flowing from those ruptured pipes into houses, into structures, and that could cause explosive problems, to say the least.
We're on with Pete Combs. He's with ABC News. He's been reporting for us all week long, doing a terrific job. Now he's in Destin, Florida. You know, people are creatures of habit. They go to work. They go to school. I mean, how long is it going to take for some kind of normalcy to return to these communities?
You know, it'll probably happen a little faster than you think, but that's still going to be weeks or even months. There's going to be that blue tarp moment where you see people sort of adapting to the situation here, and then you're going to see the reconstruction moment, and that'll be when they're really trying to rebuild and make things better. And there's a big incentive here along the Panhandle Coast because tourism is a big, big deal here, mm-hmm. and they're going to want to make things right as fast as they can to get the tourists back in as early as next season.
Now, it looks like the Carolinas may have dodged a bit of a bullet there. The soaking wasn't quite as heavy as expected.
Yeah, and I think still from what I'm looking at, there are reports of rivers that had been receding after Hurricane Florence and the floods that it caused. Those rivers are now starting to crest again. That may not be as bad as what happened with Florence, but what flood is good, right?
Yeah. Well, before you run, Pete, can you give us a sampling of what people have told you? What are their thoughts about what's happened?
I'll give you one story real quick. I ran into this guy who was walking up and down the street kind of like in a daze, and he was looking for something to eat. And he walked up to me in a very dignified way and said, "Do you have any food?" And I said, "Well, sure. You know, I always carry some stuff in my cooler when you cover stories like this." And he told me a story about he's on a disability. He was in this rundown apartment complex. The storm came. It tore the roof off the top of this two-story building. In the apartment above him, there was a woman who had taken refuge in her shower. And when the roof ripped off, she was impaled by a rod that went into her shoulder. He and several neighbors went to rescue her, and they got her out, and they got her eventually medical help, but it took a long time. And then he had nowhere to go. And he has an EBT card. He has no cash. There's nothing here that will take an EBT card, so he has nothing to eat. So I gave him what I had. I gave him a few dollars. It's a cash system down here now. Nothing else works but money.
All right, ABC News correspondent Pete Combs.
Thanks,
down
Pete.
In Destin, Florida. Thanks, yeah. Pete. And now let's get the news at 7:30 from Joe Bartlett. Good morning, Joe.
That sounds awful down there, doesn't it?
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, wow. Washington, D.C., Archbishop Donald Wuerl is resigning. Pope Francis announced this morning he's accepted the Cardinal's resignation after months of controversy involving him. He was under scrutiny for his role in handling of sex abuse cases involving priests while Bishop of Pittsburgh. One of the charges has been dropped against Harvey Weinstein, but prosecutors are promising to move forward with the sex assault case. Police Commissioner James O'Neill says they're committed to getting justice.
The overall criminal case against Mr. Weinstein remains strong. The evidence is compelling. There are five remaining counts in the indictment, including predatory sexual assault.
One of the charges that was dropped had to do with accusations by Lucia Evans, but there are writings that surfaced recently showing that the encounter with Weinstein may have been consensual. Senator Rand Paul says he wants Saudi Arabia to be held accountable for a missing Washington Post columnist. The Kentucky Republican also tweeted yesterday he's introduced legislation to stop the U.S. from selling military equipment to the Saudis. Call comes after the journalist, who is a permanent U.S. resident, disappeared. The New York Times cited Turkish sources as saying he was killed and dismembered after entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. And President Trump, of course, invited Kanye West to the Oval Office yesterday. It's still the talk of the town. The president, virtually speechless, as Kanye ranted for 10 minutes. Kanye says Trump makes him feel like Superman. And then he got a hug.
I love this guy right here.
That's really nice. Come here. That's really nice. And that's from the heart. I didn't want to put you in that position, but that's from the heart. Special guy.
Kanye offered a number of suggestions to the president, including one where he said Apple should build an iPlane to replace Air Force One.
Hmm, that's a good plan.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. Hey, the president not happy with...
Yeah?
Come on.
You okay, Joe?
No, Michael. He's going to have to defend that in a moment.
Oh, stop.
He got his head down.
It's a half day for me here. Half day Friday, folks.
Real quickly, here. President Trump is not happy with Fox News.
Really?
Yeah, wow. They stopped carrying his rallies.
They did?
Apparently, they're not as good for the ratings as they used to be, so Fox is simply just playing some clips. While continuing with his primetime lineup, a senior White House official told Politico that we're going to look into that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's Bill Shine.
Well, that's right.
Yeah. That's his communications director who used to run Fox News. I think they have connections.
Well, they're going to ask him to look into it.
So. Very good. Right. Hey, when we come back, we have an eyewitness to that historic summit.
He got a hug.
Between Kanye West and Donald Trump. ABC News chief White House correspondent Jonathan Carl was there. He got a hug. He's got all the inside scoop on that historic moment at the White House. Plus, do you want another thousand? You want $1,000? Yeah. I want $1,000. Put $1,000 in your bank account. Your chance is coming up at 8:05. 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's get the traffic. Pretty Biden.
Oh, I'm so excited. We've got John Carl on the line, the ABC News White House correspondent. You know, John, I'm guessing that after Kanye West hugged you, after he hugged the president, he hugged you. We have the picture up on our website. I'm sure you didn't wash your clothes. I'm sure you've been signing autographs. I'm sure you're a rock star, John.
I got to tell you, I mean, we've spoken after a lot of unusual doings at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I think this might have been the most bizarre day yet. I mean, I was left speechless. I was there. I listened to Kanye. When it was all over, I wanted to go over and say something to Kanye. And, you know, I did not expect him to say, come on, give me a hug. I mean, it was a little strange.
It was a historic meeting, I would have to say, John.
It was a historic meeting, yes. Some did note that he then went, after hugging me, back to hugging Ivanka. So the chain of hugs went, you know, the president, me, and then the president's daughter. So I don't know what the... I don't know what to read.
You make some sandwich, I'm telling you.
Hug a white person day at the Oval Office there. John, what was the point of the meeting, though? Can you, putting aside some of the strangeness of it, what was the point of this meeting?
Well, the point of the meeting, what we were told ahead of time, the point of the meeting was to talk about criminal justice reform. And you remember Kim Kardashian had come to the White House and had brought the case of a nonviolent drug offender that she thought should be pardoned. The president responded, in fact, by pardoning the individual. And, you know, this was to be that same issue. You know, don't forget Jim Brown was there as well. The legendary football player was there, who has talked about this issue as well. That was the... supposedly was the purpose of the meeting, although it was interesting, towards the end of the display in the Oval Office, the president said, I just invited him over for lunch. It's just supposed to be lunch, isn't it? So I don't know if that was fully what the president had in mind, but ostensibly that was... And if you listen to Kanye's soliloquy, and you really need to... And by the way, the White House has issued an official transcript now, so you can you can go and you can read every word.
And what did they spell out the word MF-er? I'm curious.
That was... So, you know, and you know, my responsibility in there yesterday was to represent all five television networks. Mm. And I put out my note, and I dutifully wrote what Kanye said. I mean, he couldn't write everything, but I tried to summarize the spirit of what he said. So, because... I'm in there before the tape goes out. You know, the first we go in there, we shoot it, we ask her questions, we do everything, and then I notify the networks what's been said, and then they make a decision about whether or not to carry it all live from tape, you know, soon as we roll it out. Right. So I did my whole thing, and everybody was very excited, and I suddenly realized, oh, my God, they can't air this stuff without a delay. Because, you know, I mean, there was some colorful language in there, so I had to amend my notes to tell everybody what was going on. But that was, you know, I mean, the purpose, you know, theoretically, it was criminal justice reform. Kanye did talk about that in the midst of his soliloquy, while he was talking about the need for Ford to produce Superfly cars and the new have a new iPlane for the president, exactly. Hydrogen powered. But I mean, there was a lot of stuff.
Now I'm going to play his answer. What was the question that you called out to him?
So I asked a couple of questions at the very beginning. First, I asked the president if I could ask Kanye a question, since it's, you know, it's his office. He said, go ahead. I asked Kanye West about the fact that he had said of George W. Bush after Katrina that he doesn't care about white people. I said, well, a lot of people say that about this president. What do you say about that? And then he went off on his thing. And then I tried to follow up. And that's when...
Well, here's the classic answer to your follow-up.
Oh, your question. You have one question, we're going to go to another question.
Okay.
I answered your question. I don't answer questions in simple sound bites. You are tasting a fine wine. It has multiple notes to it. You better play 4D chess with me like it's Minority Report. Because it ain't that simple. It's complex.
You have to play 4D chess with him. His answers are like fine wine with a lot of notes, John.
In Minority Reports, you have three different tonalities here. This is a lot, even his explanation about how complex he is was quite complex.
Okay. I was going to ask you, how are your sommelier skills?
You know, I do like a fine wine, and I do appreciate the complexity of a fine wine. I think Kanye at this point was more like a 61 Petrus than a 47 Cheval Blanc. But
it was a Matus. Is that what he said?
Yes.
Petrus. Hey, John.
Yes.
Jim Brown, one of my heroes, and I've met Jim. He was sitting there. Did he? And our listeners were wondering too. Did he actually ever say anything, or did he just take all this in?
He did. He did say things. And the president, this was one of the few times, that maybe the only time, I've seen Donald Trump almost at a loss for words. And when Kanye was going on, he kept on trying to say, well, Jim, let's go back to Jim. Jim Brown said a couple of things. First of all, it became clear he is a full-fledged Donald Trump supporter. At the very beginning, he said that what he likes about the president, is what he had done with North Korea. To which Kanye then chimed in and said that the president had solved North Korea, which even the president had to say, well, it's not quite solved yet. He also repeated something that Kanye said, which is when you look good, we look good. He didn't say a lot, Jim Brown, but in what he said, he made it very clear, abundantly clear, that he's a big supporter of Donald Trump.
Now, from the historical perspective, John, would you put this meeting right up there with Nixon's meeting with Elvis Presley?
I mean, it was the comparison that immediately jumped to mind. Of course, that you have that great photograph of Nixon with a very drugged out Elvis Presley, but I don't think that Elvis was anywhere near as loquacious as Kanye West. I feel a little responsibility. I have to confess here. This event was not supposed to be open to the press, and what happened is, in fact, they didn't even list it on the schedule as a closed event. We knew it was happening, obviously, but the White House press office did not want us in there. And if you look back to the Kim Kardashian meeting, they released a White House photo. They did not allow the press in for that. So that was the way this was supposed to be. But the president had an event beforehand with Sheldon Whitehouse and Senator Dan Sullivan on this bill that he was signing called Save Our Seas. And I asked a series of questions in there because the president was quite chatty. I asked about Jamal Khashoggi and the situation with the Saudis. I asked about the market drop and if he would, his complaints about the Fed chairman. I asked about the Hurricane Michael. And at the very end of it, as we were being escorted out, I said, Mr. President, one more thing. Will you bring us in for your meeting with Kanye?
You did it.
And there you go. So I don't know if that was in hindsight, I don't know if that was the right thing to do.
Good job, John. We have you the thing. Hey, thanks. Oh, as always, appreciate your time. John Carl, ABC News, Chief White House Correspondent. Thanks, John. He's a rock star, I'm telling you.
He is. He got in there and
made it happen.
He gave us our big three, the leader of our big three.
And you got a hug. When we return, so you're dropped from a famous rock band, what do you do? Right. You sue him. Plus, we want to put a grand in your hand. You have that chance at 8:05. But right now, Bernie Vider has traffic.
Happy Friday, everybody. And you know it's a royal wedding day over in England.
Really?
Did you know that?
Another day, another royal wedding.
Princess
what else is new?
Eugenie, she is the granddaughter of the Queen Elizabeth II. She just tied the knot but about an hour ago. To a businessman.
Who is she? Now, who is she?
She's the granddaughter of Queen Elizabeth.
Who's her father?
Her mom is Fergie.
Her mom is Fergie.
Her mom's Fergie?
Well, yes. This is interesting because the royal family hates Fergie.
Mm-hmm. It was really a Prince Andrew,
and
Andrew, right?
Prince yeah. Andrew, Andrew and Sarah
Ferguson. Is what? Charles's younger
yes.
brother?
Yes,
younger okay. brother.
This but, is Charles's younger brother's daughter.
Yeah.
But this is the first cousin of William and...
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Well, she's ninth in line for the throne. Ninth.
Hey, that's the place I'd want to be. You exactly. All the fun.
You get all the money and all the fun and no responsibility.
Exactly.
Well, wait a second. Now, she married some guy named Jack Brooksman. This is Princess Eugenie.
Yes, that's
she her married name. Her longtime partner, Jack Brooksman. You mean they were living in sin? Does the queen know about this?
Oh, please. You don't think there's been any sin around Buckingham Palace over the centuries? Give me a break.
So Natalie couldn't tell if these were trumpets or car horns. What do you think? Sounds like some wedding.
Those are the horns they use for fox hunting.
I know. Well, that's what they used when she walked in.
But it's a big deal because the entire royal family was there. How often do they all come together in a public way?
They
don't let the press there for Christmas or family reunions up in Balmoral or wherever they go. But they're all there together and they're all out in their dresses. And my girlfriend who works for Cosmopolitan.com, she was up early this morning covering the wedding. There's intense interest in the royal family.
And actually, I believe she had to change her wedding plans a little bit because Prince Harry was getting engaged around the same time, and Harry was going to have the spotlight, so he had to be married.
Well,
first.
If you're ninth in line to the throne, you got to know where you stand in the pecking order.
So nice day for a wedding.
Anyway, she's cute. I think she's cute. She looks fun. They met while they were skiing in Switzerland.
And he's a drink executive.
Yeah, he's a beverage executive or something like that.
So are you a Fleetwood Mac fan?
Yeah, I do. I like Stevie Nicks. Yeah. You can go your own way.
Well, their longtime lead guitarist is Lindsey Buckingham. Does his name ring a bell? I have heard that name.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the group is going on tour, and they told him, well, you're not invited. So they weren't bringing him. What's he doing? He's suing. He's suing Fleetwood Mac for kicking him out of the band. Can you do that? It's like suing if you don't make a baseball
team.
Well,
I mean, it depends on... It's a contractual thing.
They had no contract. They had nothing written.
Oh, well, then, maybe it's a verbal contract.
Well, he wants a share... of the tour revenues, because he says he's willing and able to perform. So
that's going to be a lot of money. You know, those Fleetwood Mac tours rake in a lot of stuff. So I'll bet he'll get something.
You had a big scoop in your weekly column today in the Post, huh?
Indeed, I do. My Friday theater column. So you remember the movie, Natalie, The Preacher's Wife with Whitney Houston?
Absolutely.
And Denzel Washington and Courtney B. Vance, I think. 1996 movie. Fun. Great gospel movie. Wow. It's about a pastor in Harlem, and his church is falling apart. They're trying to hold it together. In a time of tribulation,
that sounds good.
It's fun. That was a fun movie. It's being made into a Broadway musical.
Ah, they're going to use this music?
They're not, actually, because you know who's writing this musical? Titus Burgess. Now, Titus Burgess, three-time Emmy nominee for the Unstoppable... Kimmy Schmidt.
Tina Fey's. I saw him in The Little Mermaid.
He was the Sebastian the Crab.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an actor.
He's an actor, but he's also a songwriter.
Really?
And he has written a fresh score, an original score,
awesome.
Gospel-themed, gospel-related, but new gospel songs for a Broadway version of The Preacher's Wife.
So you have this big scoop. This is going to be a Broadway show.
It's going to be a Broadway show.
You know your stuff, Riedel. This is pretty good.
You can check out my article on our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. And Titus is a great guy. I've known him, really, since those Sebastian the Crab days. And now look at him, and people love him from this Tina Fey series.
He's huge. The younger kids like him, too. He's really hip.
Yeah, but he's told me he's loved this movie, The Preacher's Wife, since he was a kid, and he owns the rights to it himself.
Wow.
And he's the driving creative force behind the Broadway version of The Preacher's Wife.
You are Mr. Multimedia because you've got a podcast out this week.
I do, indeed. In the Wings with Christine Nagy from Light FM. We interview the wonderful, she's very funny and very talented, Rachel York, who's in the Go-Go's musical on Broadway called Head Over Heels.
Really? that sounds exciting.
It's called You Got the Beat, Len. You didn't play to the hook.
Everybody knows the song.
I know. Len just plays the intro. It doesn't get to You Got the Beat. You got the... Haven't you ever heard of that song before?
That's all Natalie gave me.
That is not true, but anyway.
All right, when we come back, Melania Trump is speaking out. We'll talk to Tom Yamos from ABC News. He interviewed her. He'll give us the lowdown on what Melania Trump is saying, and you can win another $1,000. That's coming up after the news. It is 8 o'clock.